Good morning, and welcome to the Prospect Capital fourth fiscal quarter and year-end earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to John Barry. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Amy. Joining me on the call today are Grier Eliasek, our President and Chief Operating Officer, and Brian Oswald, our Chief Financial Officer. Brian?
Thanks, John. This call is the property of Prospect Capital Corporation. Unauthorized use is prohibited. This call contains forward-looking statements within the meaning of the securities laws that are intended to be subject to safe harbor protection. Actual outcomes and results could differ materially from those forecasts due to the impact of many factors. We do not undertake to update our forward-looking statements unless required by law. For additional disclosure, see our earnings press release and our 10-K filed previously. Now I'll turn the call back over to John.
Thanks, Brian. For the year ended June 30, 2010, our net investment income was $66.5 million, an increase of 12.3% from the prior year on a dollars basis. On a weighted average share basis, net interest income declined from $1.87 for the year ended June 2009 to $1.12 for the year ended June 2010. This decline was primarily the result of raising additional equity capital early in the year, ended June 2010, in order to complete the acquisition of Patriot Capital in December 2009, as well as to make new investments in the fourth fiscal quarter. Our net asset value per share on June 30th, 2010, stood at $10.29 per share, an increase of 18 cents per share from March 31st. For the quarter ended June 30th, 2010, our net investment income was $16.6 million, or 25 cents, per weighted average number of shares for the quarter. Several new investments that we had anticipated would close in the June 2010 quarter were deferred and closed in the current September 2010 quarter. We have closed more than $130 million of new investments in the current September 2010 quarter and $250 million in the past 4 to 5 months. We estimate that our net investment income for the current fiscal quarter ended September 30th, 2010, will be 26 to 30 cents per share as we strive to put money to work in a resurgent deal economy. We are now seeing better deal flow than we have in some time for each of our leading business segments, including each of our syndicated loan, sponsor loan, direct loan, and buyout strategies. In addition, we've revised upward our second quarter results to reflect the settlement of certain accrued liabilities assumed in connection with our acquisition of Patriot, which had been estimated on a tentative basis at the time of the acquisition of Patriot. The settlement of these accruals at less than the estimated cost resulted in an increase in our net investment income per share for the fiscal 2010 second quarter of 3 cents, increasing from the previously reported 29 cents to 32 cents. We have previously announced upcoming cash distributions. Our 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th consecutive cash distributions to shareholders for July, August, September, and October. We expect to announce the next three distributions in November. Thank you. I'll now turn the call over to Grier.
Thanks, John. At June 30, 2010, our portfolio consisted of 58 long-term investments with a fair value of $748.5 million, compared to 55 long-term investments with a fair value of $697 million at March 31, 2010. This increase in invested capital resulted primarily from investments in Seton, Skillsoft, Hoffmaster, and EXL during the quarter, as well as additional fundings to existing portfolio companies. On April 7, we purchased $12.3 million of second lien notes in Seton, a human resources services company. On May 26th, we purchased $15 million in senior notes issued by an affiliate of Skillsoft, a leading software as a service provider of on-demand e-learning and performance support solutions. On June 2nd, we made a secured second lien debt investment of $20 million in Hoffmaster, which primarily serves the food service and consumer market segments. On June 28th, we purchased $6.3 million of second lien notes and a leading provider of coating services for steel suppliers. On June 24th, we closed a $25.5 million senior secured credit facility for EXL, a leading manufacturer and marketer of consumable lab testing equipment and supplies. During the 3 months ended June 30th, 2010, we repriced our loans to EXL and to LHC. The revised terms were more favorable than the original terms and increased the present value of the future cash flows. In accordance with accounting standard 320-20-35, the cost bases of the new loans were recorded at par value, resulting in $1.2 million of accelerated original purchase discount recognized as interest income. In addition, Khalil & Hayden and Custom Direct repaid outstanding debt to us during the quarter ended June 30, resulting in the acceleration of purchase discount of $1.6 million. The primary source of new investments earlier in the fiscal year ended June 30, 2010, occurred through the acquisition of Patriot in December 2009. In this acquisition, we acquired 28 investments with a fair value of $207.1 million, thereby expanding the scale, borrower diversity, industry diversity, and private equity sponsor reach of our business. Since June 30, 2010, in the current quarter, we have completed four new investments aggregating more than $130 million. On July 14th, we closed a $37.4 million first lien senior secured credit facility to support the acquisition by HIG Capital of a leading consumer credit enhancement services company. On July 23rd, we made a secured debt investment of $21 million in SonicWall, a global leader in network security and data protection for small, mid-sized, and large enterprise organizations. On July 30th, we invested $52.4 million of combined debt and equity in the acquisition of AirMall, a leading infrastructure-like developer and manager of long-term contract airport retail operations. On July 30th, we closed a $21.5 million senior secured credit facility for NMS, a leading dental practice management company in the Southeast Florida market. The NMS investment is our 10th new investment over a four-month period, with such investments aggregating approximately $250 million. Our investment pipeline currently aggregates more than $1 billion of potential opportunities. Primary investment activity in the marketplace has increased in calendar year 2010, and we are currently evaluating a robust pipeline of potential investments, some of which have the potential to close in the current quarter. These investments are primarily secured investments with double-digit coupons, sometimes coupled with equity upside through co-investments or warrants, and diversified across multiple sectors. As we have throughout 2009 and 2010 year-to-date, we also continue to evaluate potential acquisitions of lending and other financial services platforms, portfolios, and assets, utilizing our significant liquidity and balance sheet strength to go on offense to drive shareholder value. We are pleased with the overall stability of the credit quality of our portfolio, with many of our companies generating year-over-year and sequential growth in top-line revenues and bottom-line profits. Overall, in the past year, we have not seen an increase in additions to non-accruals, but rather a decrease in such additions. Thank you. I'll now turn the call over to Brian.
Thanks, Greer. On June 11, 2010, we held the first closing of an extension and expansion of our revolving credit facility with a syndicate of lenders. The lenders currently have commitments of $210 million under the facility. The facility includes an accordion feature which allows an increase to up to $300 million of commitment without the need for reapproval from the existing lenders. We are currently scheduling a second closing of the facility for an additional $30 million of commitments with current and additional lenders. We will seek to add additional lenders to the facility in order to reach the maximum size. While we are optimistic about these planned facility size increases, we cannot guarantee them. As we make additional investments that are eligible to be pledged under the facility, we will generate additional availability to the extent such investments are eligible to be placed into the borrowing base. The revolving period of the facility extends through June 2012 with an additional one-year amortization period, with distributions allowed during this period, after the completion of the revolving period. Interest on borrowings under the facility is 1 month LIBOR plus 325 basis points, subject to a minimum LIBOR floor of 100 basis points, representing a significant decrease in financing costs for us compared to our prior facility. The unused portion of the facility has a fee equal to either 75 basis points if at least half the facility is used, or 100 basis points if less than half of the facility is used. The facility has been, and we believe will continue to be used, together with our equity capital, to make additional long-term investments. The facility has an investment-grade Moody's ratings of A2. As of June 30, 2010, we had $100.3 million of borrowings under our facility. Including cash and additional assets, we are in the process of pledging to the facility, and not including either our anticipated second closing of the facility or further leverageability of additional collateral that we could add to our facility from the existing unlevered investments and additional new transactions, our available liquidity as of today is currently in excess of $150 million, which can be used for new investments. Our at-the-market stock distribution program has proven to be a cost-effective source of new equity capital to fund investment activity. On March 17, 2010, we established an at-the-market program through which we could sell up to 8 million shares of our common stock. Through this program, we issued about 5.25 million shares of our common stock at an average price of $11.50 per share, raising $60.4 million of gross proceeds from March 23rd through June 30th. Continuing with the program during the period from July 1st to July 21st, we completed the sales of approximately 2.75 million shares of our common stock at an average price of $9.75 per share and raised an additional $26.8 million of gross proceeds. During the period from July 22nd to August 24th, we initiated a new at-the-market program and issued an additional 3.8 million shares of our common stock at an average price of $9.71 per share and raised an additional $37.1 million in gross proceeds. With a debt-to-equity ratio currently less than 15%, our modestly leveraged balance sheet is a source of significant strength. Our equitized balance sheet also gives us potential for future earnings upsides as we prudently look to grow our existing revolving credit facility, add additional secured facilities, and evaluate term debt solutions made more attractive by our investment-grade facility ratings at both the corporate and facility levels. Now I'll turn the call back to John.
Thank you, Brian. We are ready for questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Our first question comes from Greg Mason at Stifel Nicolaus.
Great. Good morning, gentlemen. I want to talk a little bit about the equity issuance and what is your kind of long-term plans for issuing equity, as well as kind of what levels do you think about when you just gave the numbers there, I think $11.50 for last quarter, but now you're kind of issuing it at $9.75 so far this quarter. What are your plans for issuing equity and kind of what are your thoughts about the equity levels, pricing levels?
Sure. Our thoughts on equity issuance is really driven by a couple of factors. One is opportunities that we're seeing in the marketplace. You know, can we deploy capital in an attractive fashion and really a net accretive fashion? and secondly, a function of the share price. We really slowed substantially our equity issuance in, for example, the month of May when there was a sharp drop in the marketplace, and we would be quite reluctant to issue if there were, you know, similar future drops in the share price. But we don't have specific targets or plans related to equity issuance. What we do is look at it in a bottoms-up fashion. We run a liquidity forecast on a daily basis in our business, looking at new originations. And we've raised about $125 million of new equity in the last several months, but we've deployed twice that in new originations. So we've actually been pulling on our credit facility at an equal rate with equity issuance, about a 50-50 ratio. We also think about raising more equity from the standpoint of building, as an ancillary benefit, more scale and diversity in the business. As we've grown our balance sheet over the years, we've seen significant benefits in terms of diversity, risk management. We now have 60 portfolio companies, which is more than twice where we were about a year ago. That's a positive for the shareholder base. As our equity base has grown, we've got investment grade ratings at both the top level as well as the facility level. That's a plus that gives us positive option value to drive down our cost of capital and access to capital at all, which many of our peers do not enjoy. And it also gives us the liquidity to do transformative deals like the Patriot deal that we did in 2009. And we have evaluated many similar opportunities. We have a disciplined screen on new originations, whether it's an individual deal or a portfolio, with a conversion rate and book-to-look ratio of still around 1% or less. So there's many deals we work on that do not chin the bar, so to speak. But having that available access to capital so we can capitalize on situations out there, whether they're distressed situations that others are experiencing or some other catalyst, we get a good look at many, many opportunities because of our balance sheet strength.
Okay, and to follow up on a little bit on the leverage, we kind of look back historically. You guys have been levered around 0.3 debt to equity. You know, based on your current $240 million, if you close the additional $30 million, you would kind of be levered at that same rate. Is that an appropriate expectation going forward, or what are you looking at in terms of leverage levels going forward?
We'd like to walk up our leverage closer to 0.5 debt to equity over time. And we were reluctant to walk up to that leverage in the more recent history because, A, the cost of credit was too high. We had a much more expensive facility last year, and really it was a lender-friendly, issuer-not-friendly, you know, marketplace for companies like ours doing extensions. You're really a price taker. B, facilities were, you know, shorter in tenor. It was more of a, you know, two-year market back then. Now it's a three-year market. We really focused on getting our revolver extended and succeeded in doing so in June. And we didn't lose a single bank from our group, whereas peers, some of our peers had downsizings and have continued to do so. And in fact, we are scheduling a second closing of that facility for the near future that will add an additional bank to the group and an upsizing from an existing lender. So we're increasing the size of our revolving facility. That's where we want to focus first because that's our lowest cost of capital money. It's about 4.25% money. And then the next solution we look at is the term market, which we've been evaluating very closely, very carefully, having many conversations with potential lenders, with potential agents to that marketplace. That market had been more robust in the spring and then gotten soft in the May and June timeframe and then rebounded a bit this summer. And our intention is to explore that marketplace, leveraging off of our BBB investment grade corporate rating at the parent level.
All right, then one more question, and then I'll hop back in the queue. Can you update us on the number you gave last quarter of the amount of realizable OID left in the PCAP investments? I believe it was $36 million last quarter.
It is $29.6 million.
Great, thank you.
The next question comes from Jasper Birch at Macquarie.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Just following up on some of the previous questions, Firstly, on your leverage and sort of the availability of debt capital, could you give us any timing? Thank you for the commentary that you're looking at term debt, maybe additional facilities. Could you give us any timing on when you think those sorts of transactions might come to fruition, as well as any more concrete timing on when you expect the $30 million second closing?
I'll answer the second question first. The $30 million closing we're scheduling in the very near future, in the next few weeks. The term debt issuance is something that we're looking at in more of a late summer / fall time frame. And I would emphasize that, you know, we're not a taker of term debt on a no matter what basis. We've actually been offered term debt solutions in